You're listening to Season 2, Episode 28 of 88 Cups of Tea with Yin Chang.
Am I doing this right?
Hi, I'm your host, Yin Chang, and thanks for joining me on 88 Cups of Tea. This podcast is created to leave you feeling motivated from interviews with storytellers, where we learn how they create opportunities for a successful career without losing sight of the values that make us human. Whew, that was a really long run-on sentence.
Hey, what's up, Storyteller Tribe? Before we get into today's interview, I wanted to thank Gotham Writers for sponsoring today's episode. They teach creative writing classes in New York City and online and have built an incredible writing community. Be sure to hang around at the end of the show to find out why Gotham has earned an amazing reputation within the writer's world. We have a special episode today that's near and dear to my heart, where we dive right into the artistry of creativity and the almost spiritual sense of creating art with our innate gifts. We're bringing it way back to the basics about why we're even creating in the first place, why we must create for the livelihood of our souls and for the world. Today's interview features Lily Wilson, our first musician on the podcast. It's incredibly eye-opening to see how art, whether in form of music, acting, or writing, has a power to connect us all at the very core of our experiences. In today's episode, Lily describes a heartwarming moment she shared with a kind homeless man named Charlie, and how they inspired in each other a second chance at life. We talk about the hurt and the darkness that engulfs us artists when the rug is tugged right out from under our feet, and what it takes to resurrect our deep love for creating and making that art. We discuss goals and plans, the freedom in not having any and going with the flow, that following our intuition can, more often than not, lead to opportunities and abundance that we ourselves could not foresee. Storyteller Tribe, I felt my heart expand in this one. Now let's jump right in. Hey, Lily Wilson, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm so good. My gosh, your voice sounds so raspy and sexy. My goodness. Oh. I love it. This is amazing.
Thank you. I guess that's how it is in the morning.
I love it. I'm like, damn, I should do more interviews in the morning. This sounds awesome. Oh my goodness. Thank you again so much for being on the show. I'm so excited to talk to you because you are the first musician that I have on the show. So this is going to be really fun.
Oh, thank you.
We met through our mutual friend, Jenny Dodd. So shout out to Jenny. We love
Jenny.
You.
Love Jenny.
We love you, Jenny. And thank you so much, Jenny, for introducing us to each other.
Yes,
so when and why did you start playing?
I have always been so drawn to music, musicians, and women singers, songwriters in particular, from the time I was really little. I started performing professionally when I lived in Spain. I was studying abroad in college, and I was about 19, and I had been singing, but I hadn't really played an instrument until then. And when I moved to Spain, it's so infused with art. The culture is so much about music and art, and I was in Granada, which is the south of Spain, which is the home of flamenco music, and it's so inspiring and passionate, and everywhere, every street corner, there's somebody playing. And I was really inspired to start playing guitar. And as soon as I started playing guitar, I started writing songs. It was a very natural progression. And then when I started singing and playing, that kind of took on a life of its own. I started playing in little coffee shops and tea houses. And then eventually an audience grew and it just became really clear that that was my path.
I have actually been to Spain. I did not go to Granada. I went to Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Even there, it's just beautiful. And like you said, everything is infused with culture and it's just so inspiring everywhere you walk. When you were younger, just to unpack a little bit, did you have an interest in music?
It did come to me earlier. I really always sang. I remember being very little and being kind of obsessed with the movie Grease.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah. So I had that record. I would listen to it so much that I would wear out the records. And I remember just constantly begging my mom to buy me another one so I could sing along with all the songs.
Oh, that's so cute.
I feel like she probably bought me 5 copies of that record. I remember singing it for my family. I grew up in a really remote area. My sister and I would put on a lot of shows for our parents. Aww. And she's an actor. So it was kind of funny. We grew up performing for our family, essentially, because we didn't really have
entertainment, basically.
Yeah, we lived way out there. And then we both moved to LA to pursue our careers in entertainment.
You're from Napa, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Napa reminds me of the Tuscan villages in Italy.
It is. It is so much like that. Yeah. When I went to Italy for the first time, I really saw that.
You're like, hey, it's my backyard.
It is so similar. And it's just beautiful. I feel very blessed to have grown up like that. My family grows grapes for wine.
Did they consciously make a decision to grow grapes as part of their business, or is it just more for fun?
There are a lot of people that do it like that as a hobby, but it's actually, that is their business, is wow. growing grapes for wine. They planted the first vineyards about 45 years ago, and my dad was pretty much self-taught. At first, they were cattle ranchers, and then they kind of segued into the grapes pretty early on, in about almost 45 years, I think.
What was the school system like?
I actually went to a one-room school. Oh. It was very unusual for California, especially. I think there are still some remote areas in California. I went to a public school that was just at the foot of our property, our driveway. It was a little country school. It was one room, and it was kindergarten through sixth grade, and I was at one time the only fourth grader.
Oh my
So there were about 12 kids in total at one time. And then depending on the demographics, like it changed when my younger siblings went there, it was at capacity, which was 35 kids.
Oh
they had to get a separate trailer, you know, to have more kids. There was only one teacher and one teacher's assistant when they had that. And it was a really cool way to learn, actually. The older kids would help the younger kids, and you would work to your learning ability and level. And I think we probably ended up learning more because it was just a smaller group and we were able to kind of work to our own interest and level. I didn't really have that many other kids living very close. It was a lot of alone time, like a lot of quiet time with the animals. You know, I grew up on a farm. I had a pony that
would
spend a lot of time with. And just a lot of time to think. It did definitely inspire me to be more creative, for sure.
Do you remember ever if you wrote when you were younger?
Mm-hmm. I did write. I also listened to a lot of music, and I would write the lyrics to the songs. I would listen and listen over and over and over to get each lyric. And now it's so easy. Now you can just Google the lyrics to something. But then it was really a process, learning the songs and singing the songs and learning the harmonies. And that was just what I always wanted to do. And I would beg my sister to sing with me, but she just wasn't that into it. I had to bribe her. She always had a great voice, and I loved the way we sounded together, but she just didn't really care about it as much as I did. So I'd be like, I will give you my dessert tonight,
oh,
or whatever.
My gosh,
it was
so,
you
know, cute.
Please just sing with me.
We met because our mutual friend had collaborated an event with Todd Reed Jewelry. And I saw you there. You were photographing.
Photography is another passion, for sure.
Once you're strong in one aspect of art, it bleeds through to all other aspects of art. Do you feel like working at Todd Reed brings that out? Or is there something else that you do outside of music that gets that creativity churning?
As an artist, it's a constant balance of honoring your art and creating, and then also being able to translate that into financial reward. You know, it's always a bit of a challenge. I've had a long career in music. It's had ups and downs financially, and I am so drawn to art and creativity and design. And Todd and I have been friends since we were 16, actually. We've been artists in different capacities and friends for that long. And I really love being around creativity and being around art. I love the jewelry that he designs, and I love working with clients, and I do love photography. I do that also, and music, but I am not a designer. I can't really draw very well.
Girl, I am the same way.
It's really like...
Mine is stick figures, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, I think I'm like... I pretty much have not improved in any way since I was about five. But I'm really just so drawn to people who have talents that I don't have. I think we all are. You know, it's very inspiring. So it is a recharge for me, and it's something completely different from what I do. I forget that people don't know that I'm a musician a lot. When I'm working with clients, I'll just say, oh, I have a show in your neighborhood next week. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, I'm a singer-songwriter, and this is my day job. This is not really my career. I just love being around art. I'm really fueled by that.
This kind of reminds me a lot of my close actor friends. You know, they're working at a job and they forget that they're actors. They forget why they're out here in the first place, why they picked up and moved all the way from New York or from Maine or Florida, wherever. And they're like, wait, hold up. Why am I not taking this opportunity to also express my art, even if that means discussing it or bringing it up in conversation?
Right, right.
So is it something that you consciously choose not to bring up, or is it just you never had an opportunity to really bring it up?
When I started working for Todd, which is about 2 years ago, in the store in Venice, I had been through some really heartbreaking stuff with music. And now I have a different perspective on it. But at the time, I was really just heartbroken about some things that had happened. I had a couple amazing opportunities, but one in particular where I sang for an animated film. It was a really big film. And I had this wonderful day of working with one of my favorite composers of all time. It was all very exciting. And then whoever the powers that be with the movie decided just take all the female singing out of the movie.
So, are you kidding me?
It was devastating.
Was that a coincidence, or was that an actual choice of this person to remove the female voices?
I'm not sure. The reason that I put it that way is because it was I had sung a song that was meant to be a duet between a man and a woman. And then when I finally saw the movie, after I had recovered a little bit, the song was only the man singing, and then there were no other female parts in the whole movie. So I was hired to be the voice of the lead character. And it was a little bit of a departure from my singer-songwriter career, but it was really exciting. And right at that time, my friend Todd was opening up his store, and it just seemed like such a great departure. It came at a really good time because I felt like I was not in my best place musically just because of all the stuff that was going on. I needed a break from it. And it was actually the first time in my career that I have felt like that, where I really didn't want to do music for a little bit. I really wanted to just see what else I can do, kind of explore another side of myself, just be kind of dress up and go to work and sell beautiful, sparkly things and not think about my career and my music. But the interesting thing is that it kind of leads into a really cool story. About a month ago, I had an experience with this really, really sweet homeless man named Charlie, who we've gotten to know at the store over the course of the past couple years. And he is just a really, really kind man. And he lives on the streets in Venice. He brings us flowers. Aww. I work with two other women in the showroom, and he pretty much shows up every day that we're there with a flower for each of us. He finds them, and they're beautiful, and he puts a lot of thought into it. And some days he'll bring us little creations where he'll find a seashell and then put a flower inside of the seashell. It's really beautiful. He's just a kind, generous person. And so about a month ago, he came to visit, and he was standing on the sidewalk, and he goes, "You guys have to come out here and hear this. You have to." So Sarah, my friend, and I walked outside, and there was a street musician playing a song, singing. And Charlie was so in awe of the beauty of this song. And he was looking at us and saying, "Isn't this so amazing? He's sharing his soul with us. He's sharing his gift with us. We're so lucky to be here listening to this." I had this internal voice going, "Oh, yeah, but he's never going to make any money," or whatever, you know, like this horrible jaded side that I really don't want to have, but it's just there. So Sarah looked at me with this really knowing look. She's such a supporter and a fan of my music. And she told Charlie that I was a musician. She goes, "You know, Lily is a singer-songwriter too, and she really writes beautiful songs." And Charlie looked at me with such awe, and everything about his look said to me, "How amazing that you have this gift. That's incredible." He was so surprised too, because he didn't know this about me. I kind of just shrugged it off and probably said something like, "Oh, it's not a big deal." And he looked at me again and he goes, "This is not your secret to keep. This is who you are. and you can help people with your music. Basically, time just stopped.
We need more people like Charlie out here.
I know. It was like just such a message from the universe. And I feel really grateful to him for that because it really struck a deep chord with me. And it completely shifted the way I have been approaching my career and my music and put it in a context of this music thing that I have. It was given to me to be shared. It wasn't, yes. It's not something that I have to hold onto like a secret. Like it's only mine. And if I'm not able to make a so-called successful career out of it, then it's not worthy of being shared.
But after Charlie mentioned that to you, do you feel when you went home, you were inspired to start again?
I felt like everything changed. It's so interesting how one sentence can change everything. So I did go home and write a song exactly inspired by that comment. It's called It's Who You Are. And it's the chorus is, it's not your secret to keep, it's who you are. I am fortunate to, my husband is an amazing producer and we have a home studio and he had time the next day, which is also kind of a miracle that he could sit down with me and we could record this song. So we recorded it and then it was just very clear that I wanted to use this song to tell Charlie's story and to raise money for him. And so we recorded the song and then I put it up on Bandcamp. It's a cool site because people can pay whatever they want to download the song.
Right.
So it's like a minimum of a dollar, but it's been so incredible because people have been donating lots of money because all of the money that I make with download of the song are going into an account for Charlie. And he, in the meantime, we were able to connect him with the LA Homeless Authority and he wanted to get better, make a change. You know, he's been pretty alcohol dependent and he really wants to change his life. So it kind of all coincided timing wise where he asked us for help and Sarah, who's amazing, she was able to connect him with the LA Fire Department and then the LA Homeless Authority. And he has been in rehab for the past 2 weeks. So,
oh my gosh.
And he's doing really well. We can't visit him, but we get reports that he's really happy and he's really making improvements. And I mean, fingers crossed, this is going to be like a whole new chapter for him as well. So I feel like for myself, that what he gave me is this whole new level of inspiration. I've been writing a lot more. It's amazing when I pick up my guitar today, I feel so much happier than I did 2 months ago when I picked up my guitar. It felt like a chore. I should be doing this. I mean, I definitely want people to hear it and I want the music to go out into the world and make people happy. I want it to have a life of its own, but I'm not doing it for any reason other than to just share that gift. And when I released this song and I sent out the email, it was incredible to see the life that it took with people through social media, and I'm collecting all these messages that I've gotten from people. It really has resonated with a lot of people on a very personal level. And then it's been shared from there. So it's really taken on a whole life of its own. It reminds me of when you throw a rock into the water and it just starts rippling out. And then it's just that really, I can really see it with social media and see what's happening with it. And it's so beautiful. It's really inspiring. And I feel like I was just a messenger for that.
I also love the enthusiasm that you have when you're talking about it. And it's like you're reliving that moment again. Just talking about life and the word life being brought up. You both gave each other second chances at life. Do you know if that program, in case anyone's interested, listening in, if they know of anyone, do they also look out for job openings and placement positions for homeless people?
LA Homeless Authority is the central organization, and then they work with different nonprofits and different organizations that can be a little bit more specific depending on the person because everyone's so different. And then there are like 45,000 homeless people in Los Angeles, which is just completely mind-boggling. It just seems totally overwhelming. But each person is an individual. Each person is so different. And so I think that there are a lot of different organizations that do a lot of good. I'm actually not even sure what the name of the one is right now that he's... I know it's in Pomona, actually.
Oh,
they
wow.
took him out. Yeah, so it's not even in LA proper.
Thank you. You know, I'll do some research on that. We'll have that listed in case
any
listeners are interested and know of anyone that can benefit them. What is your process like for making music?
I have different processes depending on what song is coming through. And with that, it was really, really such a sort of divine inspiration, you know, it just wrote itself almost. So as soon as he said the words, "It's not your secret to keep, it's who you are," I pretty much had a melody right away in my head, you know, just, "It's not your secret to keep, it's who you are," you know.
That's beautiful.
And thank you. And it just had its own life. And those are always the most exciting songs to write because they really feel like they're writing themselves. So with this particular song, I kept repeating that. And the next morning woke up and, like you said, like I was crying. I mean, it was completely hitting me on a lot of different levels. And so I sat down with my guitar. That's usually the next step. And I play guitar, but I'm not like a virtuoso. I play chords. I use it as a tool to write with. And I do when I perform, I play guitar, but I don't think of myself as a guitar player first. I'm definitely a singer first. And anyway, enough, you know, downplaying my guitar skills, but I really rely on my husband because he is an amazing musician. And so I can come up with the lyrics and the melody of the song and then a really basic guitar part that supports it. And then when I play it for him, he's really just the most dedicated musician that I've ever known. And he gets a lot of inspiration from anything that I bring him. He will take it and run with it, which is so, so amazing. And so I described to him with this song how I was envisioning it, which is different than the way I was playing it because I just simply don't have the skills to play it the way I was hearing it. But we've been working together for about 12 years. That's how we met. And we've been married for 9 years. He understands what I'm talking about when I say I'm envisioning more electronic sounding drums and something with a lot of space and a lot of airiness and something that starts out really intimate and then has moments of really vast soundscape. He completely understands what I'm talking about. And then we sat down together, recorded it, and then he started experimenting with sounds. And I can say, like, no, not that. Or, what's that? What's that? Can we do that with more of a Wurlitzer sound? It took us about a day in the studio to get the basic idea. And then he worked on it for another day, just really coming up with these beautiful parts that supported the melody. And then I came back in and re-sang it and sang it to that track that he had created. And then put some harmony parts on it. I'm just so happy with the way that it turned out.
I know you mentioned that was the melody part, right? What Charlie said to you. What about the rest of the words, like the chorus? I'm assuming you also have the same process because you are a writer in writing your own lyric.
Yeah.
How does that work for you? Do you get writer's block, or for this specific song, did it just flow all the rest of the
words?
This
one really all the words really flowed. Wow. It was a very specific imagery that I had, and it was really quick. So when I sat down with the guitar to figure out the chords to support the chorus, which was the part that I just sang, then I just easily segued into the verses and they wrote themselves. But I also do a lot of co-writing, which is a completely different process where I collaborate with another writer, and that's really fun too. It has its own inspired moments, and then also this nice interaction where you're bouncing ideas off of each other. And so it feels like a true collaboration. But for me, normally the song will always start with a melody that I really feel inspired by. And I usually start with the guitar, unless I'm working with a piano player, in which case that's really fun too, because I don't play piano and that will inspire a different type of melody than the guitar would.
So you're writing for other artists, or is it co-writing with someone else for your music?
It's either for my music or sometimes we'll have a specific assignment or a specific idea for, like, if we're trying to write music to be placed in film or television and we have a specific show that we want to write a song for, or we have, I mean, there are different sites and different agencies that will put out a bulletin, like, we need an up-tempo song to go in this movie about this. It needs to be romantic. It needs to be about falling in love. And so I always draw from my own experiences. I always write from my own life. And a co-writing session will usually start with a conversation like we're having right now. And we find a common ground about an experience that we can really relate on and then start writing a song about it.
It's interesting to hear that because I'm like, what if you guys end up realizing, oh, wait, we're going in totally different directions. I thought we started off talking about the same thing and we understood each other and you come back to each other and you're like, whoa, wait, that's not what I expected. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, it definitely happens. Just happened last week. I was writing with someone and we started off with one idea and it completely morphed into another one. You just have to be willing to honor where the song is taking you.
That is
true. And I've also had instances where there's a disagreement and someone thinks that we just can't possibly say a line that I really want to say. We have to compromise sometimes. And then there are some times where I get together to write with someone and it just simply doesn't work. I mean, there are times when you just aren't meant to work together. It is a very specific process. So far, I've been really blessed to work with some amazing writers and I feel like it just makes me better at what I do. And it brings out a side of my creativity that wouldn't come out if I'm just sitting by myself writing. I love both processes. I really do. I love sitting by myself and writing a song. There's nothing like it. Being able to really put into words what I am feeling in that moment. And it's really intimate. It's really specific to me. It's very therapeutic.
Do you usually do your writing at home or at coffee shops?
I need to be in a place where nobody can hear me when I'm writing a song.
Gotcha.
Because I feel like so vulnerable when I'm just starting.
You need those safe spaces. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
There's always that voice that I have to really disengage that's like, oh, this has been written before. It's horrible or whatever, that kind of thing. And in order to be in that safe space, I need to personally feel like no one can hear me. And it can be a bit of a challenge. You know, my husband works from home. We have a studio at home. So there's a lot of music going on all the time here. I just have to time it. And I do like to go to coffee shops and just write in my journal too. Just write. And it's always good to write.
What about the length of time that you take to write a song in general?
It really depends. I mean, some songs I've written in half an hour.
Wow.
And some songs have taken 3 years.
I'm not sure if it's coming up more now that more customers are realizing you're a musician. Do you think it's because you're more proud and there's like a new confidence because now you see it more in artistry rather than an art to survive?
I'm sure that my energy about it has changed a lot. And I think that it just comes up more naturally now and more consistently because of my approach to it. You know, how we're just mirrors for each other. And I know that I just have a much more happiness surrounding music. I'm not as resistant to talk about it. Not even that I knew I was resistant before, but I do feel I'm talking about it more now. And also, interestingly, I keep getting asked to do shows and podcasts, and it's just more in my life now too, music. Like I have a show coming up in August that's in Culver City, so it's close to where I work, and it's coming up a lot with clients because they're asking when I'm playing. So it's just a natural progression.
It's almost like you created this space to allow more of that to naturally happen anyway.
Yeah, it's true. And it really is. It feels like I was blocking a little bit before and I wasn't aware of that, but now I see really clearly that I was. So now I feel much more in the flow. The music is such a big part of my life that it affects my entire life. I feel a lot more relaxed about a lot of things now.
Now that things have sort of shifted and priorities almost, do you feel like you have a long-term goal or a goal that you want to get done within the next year in terms of your music specifically?
Music has a power. It really has a power to open doors and change things. And it has the ability to introduce you to people that you wouldn't have met before and take you places that you wouldn't have gone. And I just want to be really open to that and where the music leads me, because if I have a specific idea and a specific goal that I'm trying to attain with it, I feel like I am limiting it. I don't want to put my idea of goal onto it because I think it could be so much more expansive and so much bigger than I could even envision at this point.
I do know that you won the LA Music Awards for Best Female Vocal Performance. Was that a recent thing?
It was after my CD called The Right Time, and there was a song on that. I submitted to it and then went to the big event in Hollywood, and it was so funny because I really wasn't expecting to win. I mean, there were a lot of entries. There were a lot of people at this event. Actually, it was so not expecting to win that I wasn't even in the room when they were presenting the award. I was like, you know, getting a drink or something at the bar. I heard over the loudspeakers, I heard them read the best female vocal of the year. It was for my song, A Little Life. I heard them reading it over the loudspeakers, and I was with my husband, and we looked at each other. We're like, oh my God, I don't even know where the stage is to go get my award. You know what I mean? I was like running down the stairs. I'm like, where? They just called my name. I need to go into that room. I was like a deer in the headlights, and they gave me this big award. It was really exciting, but it was completely unexpected.
I love that. It's so encouraging.
Yeah.
Right now, knowing that you go with the flow, and I love that you're so humble. People like you are the most deserving of.
Oh, that's sweet.
You're going to be focusing still on helping out with Todd's jewelry and his art, and then going with the flow with your art and just making sure you create space and time for it and go with things and not be so resistant.
I've had a lot of, like I said, a lot of opportunities opening up around music and just honoring that and shifting more into the music again has been really, really fun for me. And
healing, I'm sure.
Healing, for sure. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be recording more and playing out more, collaborating more, and we'll just see where it goes. You know, I mean, the most important thing to me is that it is a healing thing. I can help people, and it was when Charlie said that, you know, you can help people with your music. I have been able to raise a nice amount of money and account for him, and I'll be able to channel that to one of the nonprofits that he's working with so that he gets it in a direct way. But it just feels so good to use this gift that I have to help other people.
Your newest release is Harbor. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Harbor, to me, I did a lot of co-writing on that CD, and you know, there is always crazy stuff going on in the world. It does seem to be extra crazy at times, but ultimately it's the collaboration and the friendships and the human kindness that makes me so grateful. With the experience with Charlie, it's a reminder that even when we don't seemingly have anything, we do have so much to give each other, and that really comes down to the human kindness that we have. We can change lives just by being kind and compassionate and by sharing ideas. And so that record, Harbor, feels like a safe harbor, like a place where you can be creative together and support each other. Just hold the space for each other as friends and family to be in a nurturing environment and to be creative and to really do what we were meant to do as people, as individuals.
I do hope that you do find more space to talk about your music too. I think it really is important. And just for you as an artist, it just reminds us that we are here doing what we're doing, and we have a gift, like you said, that we should share with the world. And I think it is so important to just verbally put it out in that space, because a lot of good things come back. And even if that means having an amazing conversation with someone at the coffee shop about their times when they remember loving picking up instruments and playing the guitar and riffing with their best friend in high school, that's what rejuvenates your creativity as and making you almost more appreciative that you have that opportunity to continue making music, and also keeping you accountable too, to not give up.
Exactly. You know, it reminds me again of what Charlie said was, it's not your secret to keep, it's who you are. It's who you are. So when you walk around knowing that the gift that you have, it's such a big part of you, it's something to share.
Yeah, and not to be ashamed of it. And it's obviously, you've grown from this. All artists struggle with that, where it's like, oh gosh, I can't talk about it because I don't feel worthy. I don't have anything, quote unquote, to prove for my art. You know, whether my books are not on the bookshelves or the actor's not on TV or whatever, it doesn't matter. If you're creating, you're already successful. And if there's any books off the top of your head that have inspired you as an artist that you could share with us to check out.
I love The Four Agreements a lot. I read that a lot.
Who's that by?
Don Miguel Ruiz. It's a pretty quick read, and it's just a beautiful book. It's a very spiritual book. That book has inspired quite a few songs.
So Lily, tell us where we can find you on social media, and also give us a little bit more details where in Culver City your show is going to be playing in August.
On social media, I'm pretty easy to find. Lily Wilson. It's 1L, L-I-L-Y Wilson. And my Instagram name is Lily Pix, P-I-X. My show is August 20th in Culver City. It's at Boulevard Music. I'm playing with a really good friend of mine named Natalie Gelman. She's an amazing singer-songwriter also. So we're sharing the night. We're going to be singing on each other's songs, and I'll have my band. My husband will be playing bass. I'm super excited for that. The guitar shop / performance space.
Lily, thank you so much for your time. You've been so generous.
Wow, that flew by. Thank you so much, Yen. It was great talking with you.
That wraps up our interview with the ever so lovely Lily Wilson. Lily, thank you again for being so transparent and vulnerable. I loved our chat. Listeners, thank you for listening in. I hope you guys felt inspired. Please say hi to Lily over on Twitter at Lily Wilson. For the books and resources mentioned in this episode, be sure to head over to her show notes page at 88cupsoftea.com/podcast/Lily Wilson. I've been reading your messages and emails about the podcast and have been listening to what you're looking for. A lot of you have reached out asking about writing communities and classes, and I'm so excited to tell you more about Gotham Writers. If you're working on your own fiction, whether it's a short story or a novel, or even in genres like mystery, romance, science fiction, and fantasy, I really want you to listen to why Gotham is an incredible asset to writers. They started in my favorite city of all time, New York City, my home where a lot of my dreams came true. Just like me, Gotham believes that everyone has a story to tell, and they exist just so they can help writers like you tell your story better. You learn from teachers who are accomplished writers and are amazing at teaching. Through lectures, writing exercises, and workshopping, Gotham will show you how to shift from reading stories to creating them. Gotham teaches all the elements of craft to strengthen your techniques and skills. Gotham even has an acclaimed book on craft called Writing Fiction. On top of making progress on your work, Gotham will also introduce you to the ways of the business. They've put a lot of heart and soul into creating a safe and structured environment for writers to learn for over 20 years. Be sure to head over to 88cupsoftea.com/Gotham Writers to check out their classes. They have a super supportive staff that will help you find the course that's perfect for you. Hey guys, it's me again. Thanks so much for listening in on 88 Cups of Tea. Go create something magical today, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.